morning.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
I'm good. And I'm feeling so much better that this stinking cold, whatever I had, is knocked out of me.
Oh, great.
You know, it's fully energized. You know, back playing tennis, like working out, back, you know, just having the good juices flowing again.
Wonderful. Now, that flu or cold or whatever it is pretty nasty. It gets people down.
Seriously. You know, and I always tell somebody else, you know, it's when you just even having that, it's a challenge to stay as motivated or energized as you like I normally am. And I try, you know, I do my little things, and it's like, it's dry. Nothing wants to, you know, you can't get the same juices flowing.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's where you kind of test yourself and see if you can
exactly
perform. You know, that's your peak performance test.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So one of the things I want to talk about, you know, we've been telling you about this our client that we have up in Boston with the ITL and everything.
Yeah.
Well, the meeting is set up.
Good.
We're going up in 2 weeks. Dave and I are going to go up. But I think you'll appreciate this too, Rob. So we're having a meeting on Monday morning at the company with our client. And hopefully, yeah, you know, introductions to the other ones. I mean, we're going to take care of our client first. But I'm sure you're going to introduce us. We're going to see how we can go from there. But we're setting it up because I'm going to go up. We're both going up the day before. We already have tennis set up because Sam is a tennis player, another guy. So we're doing tennis drills Saturday. We're doing doubles Sunday. We're meeting my client and his wife and his son Sunday night. And then Monday at the business.
Very good. That's quite excellent.
But I was telling Dave, tennis is, I'm telling you, but the tennis is like I don't want to even say icebreaker, but it's really solidifying the relationship more because, you know, it's about tennis, and then we're flowing right in. And then actually, Sam, this client who we're going to see, actually, we have a call this afternoon. He referred a relative of his because of the market volatility. They were talking to one of his relatives, and they were talking, and he said, "You really have to talk to Rick and Dave." So we have a meeting this afternoon to see if there's a fit.
Great.
So it is pretty cool, but we'll see. But I think tennis is definitely the connection here, and it's just setting it up, and it's almost like, so he's looking forward to, you know, taking us to his business and looking around, and I think after the whole weekend of setting that up, it's just going to, we're looking to flow.
Yeah, it's really good, Rick. It's really smart. You really thought this through. You're making him very important, and hey, let's face it, everybody likes to feel important, and you're doing a terrific job of that, and you know, you can't say enough about that. It's just really, really smart. So.
Well, we also took your advice and we talked to one of our, you know, estate planning, wealth planning senior people, and we walked over Sam's situation and with the pre-IPO planning. And so Dave is, this is where Dave is, he does, like I was telling him the other day, like I would always get stuck on execution and have these things. Like I may not have been as aggressive as setting this meeting up. But having Dave, because he's great at preparing, even like with, you know, our, you know, the materials that we want to walk in with, Dave's been working on the pitch book of ideas that we're going to present to him, and from the planning basis, and, you know, the synergies, it definitely helps.
That's great. So what are you actually going to present to him as ideas on free ITO planning?
Well, Dave, I'll let you jump in on this one, but I think we're going to start with, we're going to look at his overall financial plan and how this liquidity event is going to affect his overall financial plan first, Dave, why don't you tell them about some of the other things we're going to look at?
Yeah, so really how we're going to position it. So we're going to do kind of a big presentation to Sam with everything. So we're going to look at, obviously, we're starting to go through performance because that's a good story in terms of, you know, how the accounts have done over the past, you know, really handful of years, but more recently how the accounts have done. We made a couple good decisions from a timing perspective, you know, trimming some of his equities before the market dropped about a week and a half, you know, over the past week and a half. So kind of go through a little bit of that first. We're then going to revisit the financial plan, show all the updated numbers. We do that really on an annual basis for Sam. A lot of the financial plan, we want to kind of keep making that the point to stick and make sure he's, you know, aware of all the stuff that's going on in the financial plan, because that's really the, you know, our approach, our process, and we really want to hammer that down, especially around hopefully the other executives we get to speak to, because the plan was really what was in place that helped Sam make his decision to leave his prior firm, Shire, to kind of take this leap of faith to start at this startup company that we're going to be visiting. So we kind of want to revisit the financial plan, show him how we've updated everything, see what's changed on his end. You know, so that'll be kind of the second part of it. Then we're going to get into more of, you know, the changes that have happened from a tax reform standpoint, and then also some kind of basics at a high level from an estate planning standpoint. So how the federal and gift transfer taxes have changed from this year as opposed to last year, going into a little bit more in depth of some strategies that are available. The problem really is I wouldn't say we're coming in with a, hey, here's a hard recommendation of here's what you should be doing today, but giving him an idea of some of the, you know, whether it's an outright gift, whether it's setting up specific types of irrevocable trusts or a grantor retained trust or a spousal lifetime trust, pros and cons, advantages, disadvantages, things to consider, kind of lay the table for when things get a little bit more concrete, when they're going public, the valuation, all those types of things that we've presented ideas, and the more information we get, the more detailed and exact our ideas can really become more in terms of implementation and execution. So that's really, it's all going to be tailored towards him, customized towards his financial plan. Here we have some other recommendations in terms of, you know, increasing his 529 contributions for his son Keon, which he's probably a little bit light on right now. We're going to go through any kind of, he has a 5-year adjustable rate mortgage. We're going to go through and highlight what's going on with that. So, that, you know, we're going to kind of just incorporate everything into the whole picture and how the potential IPO could impact the financial plan in both a good way and potentially a bad way. So that's kind of the story.
How much will his estate be after the IPO?
Not anywhere near the federal limit.
So that's the thing. He's going to be needing this money, you know, for his... It's not like this is going to be excess money that he's not going to be able to... this is going to fund his retirement, basically.
So So, Rob, he has about $2 to $2.5 million of investable assets. His home's probably worth about $1 million. He has roughly, call it $400,000 left on a mortgage. So we're talking about a net worth for him and his, you know, for his family, for him and his wife, you know, somewhere maybe in that $3 million range, the net worth, investable assets around $2 million. So by no means, you know, from at least the early indications of what his equity stake is, which is in that 0.5% to 1% range, and on a valuation expectation of around $400 million, that would give him a liquidity event, you know, pre-capital gains tax of $2 to $4 million in terms of that to have an evaluation of $400 million. So it's not that this liquidity event is going to create federal estate tax issues. The one thing it will do, it will create state estate tax considerations. So that's one of the things that we're going to talk about in terms of account titling and ensuring we're protecting, as long as they continue to live in the state of Massachusetts. Massachusetts does not have a favorable state estate tax. So that's another thing we're going to highlight in our presentation.
How old is he?
He's fairly young.
He's in his early 53, maybe?
54.
Yeah, 53, 54. He's not ready to move to Florida.
No, and his son, is in, his son just got into a relatively prestigious private school, in suburban Boston. His son's only 12, so, there's certainly, I don't think, any plans for him to move anywhere anytime in the short term. All of his connections, and, obviously with the company and other companies work with that are now kind of in that Boston area, so it doesn't seem like, and we've talked about in the financial plan, there's been no goals or objectives later in life to move to Florida or California or anything like that.
Okay, so he's going to end up with between $5 and $7 million.
Right.
Sound like right?
Yeah.
Okay. And would that be net after taxes or is that gross?
That would, well, now they all, every executive did the 83B election, so they paid ordinary income when they were granted the shares of stock. So they will have to pay capital gains tax, so, at a much more favorable rate. So even if it, let's just say, the net will be $6 million maybe would be his net worth if that were to all happen and, from an after-tax standpoint.
Right, but he's not going to sell it, right?
That's the other thing. Yeah, that's the other thing. We would be shocked, and maybe he would sell small pieces of it. Now, the other thing we don't know is, after going public, what they'll probably end up doing is, especially for a lot of the executives, they'll be issuing them, restricted stock, non-qualified, or potentially even incentive stock options, other types of equity-based compensation. So we don't even know what that potentially could look like, and maybe that's where he'll get some liquidity, from the company out of maybe some additional equity comp where he holds on to the original equity shares and doesn't sell. That part we haven't really gotten into the weeds on.
Yeah, okay. So he really needs the stock to perform is what he needs.
Right. Yeah. It's not like that's the problem with when we were going through more advanced strategies like a GRAT, like a spousal lifetime annuity trust. There really is, for him specifically, this isn't a $20 million liquidity event. It's not, money that's going to be kind of left to, dynasty-type trusts for, legacy planning. This is really money that he's going to use to fund his lifestyle and his needs and to support his son and help him through college and everything else. So it's not really,
You guys really need to pick up, four or five other clients there.
Well, that's our goal.
You got to go into this thing. In this situation, frankly, for the amount of attention and effort and all that you're doing, this guy really needs to be a center of influence for you.
Yeah, I completely agree.
If he was a $50 million case, you wouldn't need anybody else. It'd be like,
exactly.
Okay. But in this case, he's not that big an account at this point.
Yep.
And to put all this effort into for this guy, it sure would be worth it long term, and you should do it. But the real payoff for you guys has got to be that you pick up, even two more clients would be wonderful.
So there's probably five execs, I guess four or five execs there, and that's our goal.
I try to get them all. I would, because of the size of this thing, I would be very, confident going in.
Yeah.
And very assumptive that you're going to, my brother and I were talking about the assumptive close. It's the easiest close that there is. And it's basically, we're just as if everybody said yes. What would you do going in now if everybody had said yes, we want to do business with these guys? How would you handle this meeting then? And mentally, I think you guys should be prepared for that kind of outcome.
Yeah.
Rude or anything. It's just be prepared for people to say yes. We want to move forward. Sometimes you don't. Yeah, you don't need three meetings. You know, when you get a center of influence who is a well-respected person, and this is all new to these people, sometimes they will just rely on him and go with that, you know.
Mm-hmm. And the other area we might have some expertise on, and we were talking with our global asset management team, is the corporate cash management.
I wouldn't get too confused here. I mean, that's for another meeting.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're going to meet with the treasurer and that's a separate meeting and that's what your meeting is about,
right.
Great. But the human mind can only handle so much crap, right?
Okay.
So, focus. I like the attention to detail on the little things. I know that sounds kind of crazy in this situation, but that's what's going to sell them, is that you're focused on the little details, like, you know, overfunding the 529 now in order to make sure you have enough money. That's really important.
Well, and the other great thing with that, Rob, it's good timing with the 529s because, for example, Sam's son, Keon, goes to a private school, and now the 529s with the new tax reform, they allow up to $10,000 a year can be used out of 529 to fund pre-college education. So that's another little feather in the cap of, hey, we're paying attention. We know rules have changed. We're on top of those. That now let's take advantage of that new rule. So And gifting works the same way. I mean, now that, you know, they have pretty much until January 1st of 2026 with the step up now, double that individual transfer tax or gift tax limit, exemption number is now $11.2 million per individual. So, you know, again, these numbers are so high that in our situation it doesn't really matter because we're not dealing with people, you know, that have a $20-plus million estate to the best of our knowledge. But, you know, that's where we need to, and I agree with you, we need to get in front of these other executives to see, you know, what strikes the chord with them. We don't know anything about them. We don't know, you know, if they have children, if they're, you know, have millions of dollars or no dollars. So, you know, we certainly need to present ideas, but also get time to learn about them and see how we can do more of a hard sale.
Yeah, I would be all about the financial planning thing. I mean, that's the way to go. You know, we want the opportunity to help you guys. We're not stockbrokers. What we do is we do in-depth multi-generational planning for executives and C-suite people like yourselves. And that's what we do. So, you know, let us help you. But to me, that's really your sale. And by doing a good job for the CEO, you're going to have great credibility. And he's going to see one of the worst things to have happen. And this is what, Rick, you don't know this, but when I ran the district, one of my concerns was always getting people to manage their money properly and not overspend and make sure that they were ready so that they didn't have an event that caused them to have to take a check, right? The worst thing in the world is to have a good guy that's worked for you for years, and he gets behind the eight ball financially and needs to take a check, and he leaves, and he's upset, you're upset, but financially you can't solve his problem because he didn't manage himself well. And that's the same thing for this CEO. Let me tell you something. People do stupid things when they get money. You know that, and I use that term. I would tell them the average, you know, inheritance lasts 18 months. So you tell me what these guys are going to do with a windfall. You know, are they really educated? You know, so this is really smart. He may even want to pay for their financial planning.
Yeah.
Okay, because, I mean, that's a serious, serious problem. So I used to pay attention to anybody that went to Las Vegas. I used to pay attention, you know, and when guys would come over and we'd give them a check, I would sit down and have heart-to-heart talk to them and tell them exactly what, you know, is your business. Yeah, great. Everything's great. Yeah, everything. You love us. We love you. But when you get over here now, you know, don't blow this money because you're going to pay taxes on this money every year. And, you know, you go out and buy a big new house and buy new cars and da-da-da. You don't have any money and the market isn't good to you for a couple of years.
Yeah.
You're going to be behind the eight ball again. So don't be stupid. And you got to pay taxes, you know. Remember, taxes. So that's the kind of adult conversation you can have with these guys about, you know, the average basketball player, the average NFL player, how long their money lasts. Not very long.
True.
So
that's a good point. Because I think this is the first time for all each one of them. They've all come out of the corporate environment. And this is their first piece of, you know, getting equity in a company. So that is a good thing.
Yeah. Have that talk with your boss. Have this talk with your friend.
Right.
Look up these statistics, okay? The average life of an inheritance. Look at the average life of a lottery winner. The average life expectancy in terms of NFL players' wealth. You know, there's a lot of horrible stories out there of people that get wealth and blow it. Okay? Getting some planning done ahead of time and putting people on budgets so they don't go crazy is really important.
Well, I think that's even a conversation because we're going to be meeting with his wife, too, socially for dinner on Sunday night. We're not going to probably get into too much of the planning on that point, but, you know, that's a good point to bring up.
Well, and you don't even have to say it about them. You know, and talk it. You just tell stories about, you know, unfortunately, you know, you've got kind of a fiduciary responsibility to your executives to look out for them as their mentor and boss. And this is what happens when people get money. And tell them a few stories.
Yeah.
And how quickly they go through their capital.
Interesting. So I really, that's a good point. So we're going to focus on the planning because in the detail. I like those ideas and, you know, how somebody can do stupid things with the money. Now, the day before, here's another thing, because we're using this really as focusing on Sam, but with the intention of getting the others. Now, one of the others we're going to play tennis with on Saturday and Sunday. He has an executive search firm, and he focuses on venture capital and private equity so that, you know, he's bringing new executives into the private equity when they're, you know, to come in and take over the company. Good guy. And again, tennis is, I've met him before, and we're going to play with him, but on Sunday, what he's done, get this, I'm sure you love this one. So, you know, he's an executive search guy, a recruiter, and so he's using tennis, and he has a Sunday afternoon doubles where he gets, I think it's called VC and Entrepreneurs, is that what it is, Dave?
Yeah, VC Bronx. Yeah, he places, you know, he works with venture capitalists and like private equity firms and helps place, you know, like C-suite. I think more of like on the technology side, he goes out to California, to, you know, the San Francisco area all the time. So he's helping to place through the work of, you know, partnering with private equity firms to place, you know, tech executives in, you know, in the right spots, and he does a lot of traveling around that.
So on Sunday afternoon, for 2 hours, we're going to be in that group of his VC entrepreneurs, and we're going to be playing. And then afterwards, they have like a social hour of drinks and getting together. So he brings everybody together, meeting them socially through tennis, and then, you know, that's his pool of connections, basically. It's almost like his mastermind group.
Yeah, it is. It is. and it's done in a different form, but they it's kind of a niche mastermind group. The niche is tennis. The niche is tennis, and the mastermind group is tennis, but it's also so it's a really interesting it's definitely a niche mastermind group. Now it may not and they meet every week, right? So it's even more frequently than every month. So Rick, this is a really good idea for you. Think about it. Why don't you do the same thing?
That is good. Because, and then what he does once a year, he gets one of these, I think, is there like, there's a grass tennis court, Brookline, is it?
Sure, what is it? Project.
Yeah, well then.
It's called Longwood Cricket Club.
Yes. So that's
what I played it. And I ball boyed there. For Rod Levin.
Oh my God.
No way.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
he does an event there once a year then in September where it's, they play there. It's an afternoon of tennis, then drinks, cocktails, and socializing afterwards with the same kind of group. And he invited me up next year. He said, you want to sponsor? He said, I don't know if he said there's no more wealth management guys or one other one. He said, but so I'm going to do that next year in September when he does that.
Longwood Cricket Club is kind of like Augusta National for tennis.
Oh, really?
Oh God!
Mrs.
Whiteman, you're gonna see there's a Whiteman Cup, and I met Mrs. Whiteman, and she was in her 80s and still playing tennis.
Oh my God!
And she was adored by everybody, but the Whiteman Cup is a women's tournament, and I forget what for, but yeah, we played. I had a league that we played in all over, Boston area, and I was quote the commissioner. So I ran our team and organized things, and so it was a wonderful thing. We got to play at the country club and the nicest, most prestigious clubs in Boston. And that was when we were young. I was just out of out of the Navy and working at Merrill, just started at Merrill Lynch, and so we played all over the place and had a blast. Met a million good people.
Yeah,
but no, tennis is a fabulous thing. I mean, it's a wonderful, and people that are tennis families are tennis families. They're not anything else, So I would jump all over that. That's a really, he's a center of influence for you.
Yeah.
Have you read the book Give and Take?
Probably the first time around. I haven't read it recently, to be honest with you.
Okay, so the book Give and Take is it was written by a Wharton professor, and it talks about givers, takers, and matchers. And he has a bunch of fabulous stories in the book about networkers and how they work. And it's the idea that, you want to surround yourself with givers. These are people like you that give without really asking for much in return. They don't ask for anything, really. They just want to help and connect and help people. Matchers are people that, I'll introduce you if you'll introduce me, the match. And then takers are people that pretend to be givers, but in the end, all they want to do is take. Okay, so you want to avoid takers in your mastermind groups or networks or centers of influence. There are people that love the idea of it, but they don't really want to contribute. They just want to take things from it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to create a mastermind group or a network of people that truly want to help other people. And you'll know the difference, but consciously doing that will save you a lot of heartache. It's like having a partner. You guys are getting along great. You're good partners because you're both givers.
Yeah.
You're not You're not looking to exploit the other person. You're looking to enhance the other person and make their life better. And that's really important in all of this networking that you're going to do. So when you do interview these people up there, make sure you're interviewing them and to be sure that they're going to be good clients and not takers or pain in the ass. You know, you don't want people that are, you know, do-it-yourselfers or people that are a pain, you know. So anyway, that's
So here's the thing. So on that, so that's the secondary. I mean, so we really have two networking opportunities. One is this tennis with this whole group, but Dave is not going to be playing tennis, but he's going to be coming up there for the social hour, to meet everybody. And again, I think Dave's more aggressive with the introductions than I am. I'm more, you know, laid back about it. And this is a good, good slap bad spot. Dave's able to do that. So when we do that, Dave's probably going to take names and all this stuff, and we can,
like for example, that's, Clark, the executive recruiter, who Rick knows, and Stan is very, Rick and Sam are both very close with. I think I'll have the opportunity to, obviously get to know him on a personal level, but get, more involved in terms of how his business operates, what he does.
Sure.
And look for any kind of reciprocity. I know, who knows, if you know people and you try to connect and, I think that would be important to kind of hear more about on the professional side, what he does, how he's been successful, how he started in the business, and I can kind of get into the weeds a little bit of that and ultimately try to connect things and see how, maybe we can be mutually beneficial in terms of a professional relationship.
And I can tell you, Clark and Sam are both givers, so. And probably matches, because that's what Clark's business is. He's matching.
Yeah, he's a connector. We call him connector.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's a connector. So, that's wonderful. It sounds like it's going to be wonderful. By the way, it is great if you can operate like this, where you come in kind of a tennis player, glad hander, good guy, and then you have this other guy come in, he's the professional, he's not playing tennis, he's just there to, he's kind of the truck guy, the planner, the guy that, the serious guy. And they see you then as a little bit more serious.
Right.
You see what I mean? It adds a level of professionalism that you might not get if it was just you.
Right. I totally agree.
Well, it's tough to wear both. It is tough to wear both hats. You kind of go in with, I just want to be more on the personal side and the having a good time and instead of, getting into the weeds about business and being more professional. So it is nice that you can kind of, pass the hat around in terms of, being the friendly personal side, not talking business, but also, talking a little bit of business and talking some shop and seeing, how relationships can expand from a professional standpoint.
Right. No, it's brilliant. Yeah, it's really good. So this is a really good one. This is really, you'll have a blast up there. It's a beautiful place. They had big national tournaments there, so it's huge lawns of grass courts. I mean, it's not just like one grass court.
Well, unfortunately, we're not playing there. We're not playing at that club this weekend. That's something he does once a year for the same, for a larger group, and does it for charity.
Yeah.
But this weekend we're playing at one of their indoor clubs near where they live, and it looks like a pretty cool club.
Right. It'll be nice. Yeah, it'll be nice.
Yeah.
It's just the season. It's the wrong season.
Exactly. But I'm looking forward to it because it really is, it is an opportunity, and I think the fact, and this is where it's coming into play, Rob, because of Dave now, we have two. If it's up to me, it's just like, I would be probably, I don't want to say hesitant, but pulling the trigger to make it happen is much easier with to have two, because Dave assists with this. I mean, some of the detailed stuff where I would get lost, blocked into, it's like, okay, Dave's taking care of man, we're moving forward, we're just getting this done. And we set it up, we had it all done. And we are going to have pleasure, personal, but we're going to have business. It's a business meeting that we're
doing. Right. I mean, I'll tell you a quick story. I developed Supernova, right? And we had it all ready to go, and we were teaching it and running it in Indianapolis. And the guy, my sales manager, Jeff Ransell at the time, said, "Rob, you need to take this up to see the president." And I said, yeah, no. Okay. And he kept bugging me. And then he put together a complete kind of PowerPoint presentation and then a handout, nice binder and everything. And then he kept bugging me. Call the president. Go see James Gorman. And so I finally did it, made the call, and he said he'd see me, and I went up there, and that was the beginning of Supernova.
Wow.
I mean, if it hadn't been for him bugging me and pushing me,
yeah.
Sometimes you need somebody else to see the genius in you, because you're kind of modest, and, you don't want to, you're busy and whatever, I didn't want to make too big a deal out of it,
Yeah. That's exactly the thing, because Dave's the guy, he puts together the PowerPoints, because that's like foreign to me. I'm not wired that way. And Dave just, he knocks it out in like two seconds. And,
I think that helps with the confidence of knowing you're going up with good content, you have a story, from the business side of things. In fact, you're not going in kind of willy-nilly where you have to say, oh yeah, let's talk about, IPOs in your company, and you kind of don't have a story and you don't have, content and educational, at least education stuff to get your foot in the door. We're coming in and we obviously know Sam, and we have Sam as that relationship, but we have these other guys that we're trying to work on, that we can show them, hey, here's what we do. We have a process and an approach. We start with a financial plan. Oh, by the way, we know what's going on with your company. We know the situation you're in because we work closely with Sam. We helped him actually get to this place. We're helping him with his planning pre-IPO and obviously post-IPO. And we'd love to sit down and talk to you about your situation. And I think it's a good story. And I think we're going to provide some good high-level education, some ideas, and some things to consider, where hopefully it sparks. If we touch upon three or four things that we think are most important to Sam that we can also kind of relay to these other executives and strike some sort of light bulb to say, hey, whether or not they have another guy or not, say, oh, my guy, or I haven't thought about this, I definitely sit down with these guys and talk to them. And that's when we really have to get more on the hard sale of, we're going to be up here and we want to move some accounts and we want to really make things happen.
Yes.
We got to move fast.
All right, so what's your plan for coming back? Because you're going to get appointments. So what are you going to do then? When are you coming back?
I would say that we have, well, I guess it's going to depend because they do have this road show and a couple other things where they're going to be traveling. I think Sam and some of the other executives, but, we need to be up there, in my opinion, before, whenever that event is, we need to be up there with accounts, with account transfer forms and, financial plans, yeah. Whether created
all right,
or...
So so when is this happening? Next week?
We're going up a week from Monday. A week from Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, when's their roadshow?
They said it was the end of, technically, they said end of February, early March is the roadshow.
We'll find out if that's still, whether the markets have slowed down or I don't know. We'll find out more when we get up there.
Okay. I would try and get back before the roadshow. I mean, that sounds like you only have a week or so, maybe 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be short turnaround. I mean, I think...
So I would plan on, I would plan on saying we're going to be back here in a week. We'd like to, we need to set up an appointment for them. Because these guys are going to say yes to this. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys need to be prepared for when they say, yes, I want to meet with you. You say, okay, we're coming back the week of, in a week. What's the best day for you? We'll try and coordinate with our other appointments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so look as though it's already happening. You're already coming.
Yeah.
And you'd like to coordinate with your other appointments, what works for you that week. And then try and make it all, seriously try to make it all work, because it could be a little complicated. But you may need to spend 3 days there.
Hey, it's worth it. You know, we have other clients up there, too, that we're going to try to meet even next week once we get the schedule. We have another client who's a partner of a law firm, and I got him through actually his a relative who's down in this area, and we basically, just over the phone, without ever meeting him. Yeah, and it's probably, I mean, what, Dave, a $2-3 million relationship already?
It's a $2.5 million relationship, and they have, you know, significant assets between qualified accounts and,
right.
and another account with an advisor that we've been working on. They probably have at least $3 million outside. The husband is the senior partner of a law firm. I think there's 5 or 6 attorneys. You know, done very well for him. We've kind of incorporated, you know, the Supernova that's worked extremely well. We also had a good time, and they came in February of 2016, right after the market had dropped. They came in very to the market low for the past 2 years outside of last week. The accounts have done phenomenal. So
it's not just that. It's the planning, really. The planning piece is what sold them on us, and it's continuing because, you know, they're a few years away from retirement. Their kids are now graduating. They're in grad school. They're looking to they have a couple of homes up in the Boston area. They're thinking about what to do with them. And
but do you think, I mean, I don't know if we'll have the time, but I mean,
yeah.
I'd love to even reach, when we reach out to, his name is Steve, the attorney,
right.
to say we'd love to come in and bring in coffee or lunch or something and introduce ourselves to the other partners. We're doing a lot of work up in Boston. We're going to be up a lot more often and maybe try to get some other introductions while we're up there. I'm trying to get as many introductions as we possibly can.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, where is this plant, this company located? Is it 128 or downtown?
They are in, they're in,
Homology?
Homology is outside of the city. It's in either...
It's in the western suburbs.
Yeah, it's about 30, I think it's about 20 to 30 minutes, due west of Boston.
Okay. Past the 128 Beltway then. Okay.
Yeah, let's see.
There's a technology Beltway that's outside of Boston.
They're in Bedford. So they're on, let's see, so they are, they are...
Southwest, right? Isn't Bedford Southwest? Yeah.
Northwest of the city.
Really? Bedford?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, northwest of the city in Bedford.
And the tennis and everything were right around Sudbury.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it's going to be pretty cool. I think we're excited about it. It's good. And I, you know, appreciate that feedback about it. Because that's our goal, is to get all these guests.
And then the attorney, the law firm is, I believe, is downtown. Let's just see if I'm looking. So, yeah, they have like close to 10. He's the lead partner of, it's called Nolan Sheehan and Patton. And there are about 10 attorneys. They are on Federal Street. That's right downtown. And actually our office, our UBS office, I believe is like literally like right across the street. We're extremely, extremely close, our UBS office.
Yeah, we were in the Federal Street office. That's so funny.
So he's right there. Their office is right down there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful downtown.
Yeah. So, but there's two good centers of influence right there between Sam in Homology and Nolan and this firm that we're going to continue. And we've done it the right way with both of them. We've used Supernova. We've done started with the planning, the multi-generational planning. We've done the monthly calls. They both love them because it's something, and I think I was telling Dave earlier that, I mean, everybody knows stuff like this, but nobody does it. And I think that we got to wrap up, but Dave, maybe you could tell Rob I think we mentioned to you that there's another group that, you know, Dave and I are associated with now is a larger team in Jersey, and they've been dealing with a consultant. Maybe you know him. What's his name, Dave?
Moderator has joined the conference.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Well, we're just saying, I know we've got to wrap up, but Dave, remember we, you know, this, how this partnership is? I'm partnering with another large advisor in Jersey.
Yeah.
And we're sharing Dave, basically.
Yeah.
Right. But they're working with a consultant. Maybe Rob knows him.
Yeah, well, and the consultant actually was very familiar. His name, he works predominantly in the Northeast. His name is, he's like a business coach. His name is Edwards Holiday. He has his own, like, consulting firm. But he's been working with this other advisor in South Jersey for years. And, you know, we had a meeting on Monday morning, and Supernova got brought up, and he mentioned, you know, and in terms of what I was trying to share best practices and, you know, the service model that Rick and Margaret and through you and your process. And he's like, yeah, he's like, that's a home run. Like, you guys need the same thing in Jersey. So he's like, oh, he's like, first thing I do is get the book. He's like, order the two assistants, Lisa and Monique, and order them the Supernova book, have them read up, and then you can start training them on. I said, yeah, I mean, I understand the process now that I've kind of been tutored on it. So we're trying to get the wheels in motion over on the other side of the river here to see if you know, we can get that same type of service model on this side. So everyone agrees you need a clean cut service model. You need consistency. You need to set expectations, and you have to deliver on those expectations. And I think, you know, that's our story, along with the planning and everything else. And I think we have to explain that to everyone we sit down with. We have a process-based approach.
So, Dave, is that what we refer to as an introduction?
That is correct. That is correct, Robert. That is correct. So we are going to try to move the needle, and we will. I will be in touch in terms of how we can set up similar types of conversations and get everyone on board. And knowing the group over here, it might take a little while. It might take some arm twisting, but it can happen.
But listen, do this. Call Cindy Louie 317-650-1500 and she will arrange to have a conference call with me. Free. Okay? Just to introduce the coaching model and make them comfortable. If they don't want to do it, no big deal. But it's hard, you know, to sell Supernova if you aren't Supernova. You know, it's much easier for me to do it. So if you can make the introduction and set up a conference call, then that'll actually work. I mean, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Rob, look at that. You just showed me the way to do it. You're smooth.
You gotta ask. Rick, you gotta ask for business. I keep telling Rob, I said, you gotta ask for business. Rick, you gotta ask for business, man. You have all the trust. You have all the relationships. Now all you gotta do is ask for business. People will give you business if you ask them.
Right.
I'm getting there, guys.
Don't keep, you know, Rick, just keep using that line. Just don't keep me a secret.
There you go. Hey, we are asking, Dave's even seen it now, we're asking, you know, clients now about referrals, and it is changing the mindset of an old dog.
Well, you've earned it. See, that's what Dave sees. He sees these other clients getting introductions, and they don't do anything.
That's what I did tell them. I see all these other clowns out there that go through nearly the type of business and provide the service and the value that we provide that are winning business left and right. I'm saying, what's the difference? The difference is they're being aggressive. They're asking for business, and people, you know, are pretty much saying, yeah, I'll give you business. You know, just you got to ask. And if you don't ask, they just look at you as a friend instead of a business partner or trusted advisor.
Well, just remember, you know, when we go to those dances and the girls would line up on one side, the boys on the other. And they play the music and the girls would wait and they'd make eye contact with you. And the handsome boys are over there sitting against the wall and the aggressive ones are going over and asking for a dance. And guess who gets the dance?
Yeah. I'm learning, guys. I'm learning. That's the one thing. You got to look at your weaknesses to work on them. So that's what I'm doing.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. You're step one. You recognize you have a problem. You know, it's not an AA meeting. The problem is you got to be more aggressive. You got to ask for business.
Yeah. So, anyway, well, Rob, I appreciate it. We will, next time we'll let you know. But the next call I also want to, I know it was on today's agenda, though, is the social networking stuff. And I know you're a proponent of that, so we'll talk about that on the next call.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I agree. You know, there's not enough time, too many good ideas. But
yeah.
We'll do it next week. And Dave, I'll look forward to you following up on that. I appreciate it.
I will, not a problem.
Awesome, guys. Bye, Rob.
Bye. Hey, Rob.